So in for George Norrie tonight, who is in Everett, Washington for the big show. Hope it's one that's full of fun and one that will also bring some relaxing times in Washington. I hope they got good weather up there. I hadn't even checked the map. It's getting better all over the country. Spring has sprung finally for most of the country and only getting better from this point forward. And it's going to be baseball season soon enough. But in the middle of March Madness for basketball, all my teams lost today. I was pulling for Minnesota. Go Gophers yesterday. It kind of surprised some people that they were able to beat Louisville, but not me. The question is there anybody out there that's good enough to beat Duke? That's really all going to come down to is this is an elimination tournament to get to see who gets to try to beat Duke, I think. But, I mean, they look like men among boys out on the court so far. Should be an interesting. So, coming up tomorrow night, Lizzie Borden, The Trial of Lizzie Borden. That's tomorrow night on Coast to Coast. New book, new research, new scholarship, new guest. And old guest, fun times with Jim Carroll coming up in just a minute. I want to push him in a slightly different direction before we get to the phones. We'll give you the numbers at the bottom of the hour so you can join the conversation. And I know he can do all sorts of memory tricks and, you know, he can name what day of the week something landed on and he can, you know, he's got all these tools. But I got a different question for him coming up next on Coast to Coast AM, in for George Norrie. This is Ian Punnett. So Jim Carroll, Bethlehem steel worker turned door-to-door salesman turned magician turned mentalist turned memory expert and motivational guy in general, just sort of general happy guy that helps to bring people to a new level of peace and understanding. I have a question for you. It's about memory, and I'm committed to this idea, but I'm open to correction. Okay. My wife and I did not take a lot of videos of our kids. We took some pictures and we took some, you know, photos and videos and whatever. We have enough if we had to put together a, you know, a little birthday thing or something. But we didn't do what other parents do, which have like literally like some Yoko Ono length movie of, you know, the most mundane things that went on forever. We didn't do that. Partly because what I believe on memory is the emotional side of memory is also something very important, that we can't just always be focused on remembering things exactly how they happened, but that there is a benefit to being able to conjure a memory that is not just data points, right? And I think this is an interesting thing when you're talking with people who are going through PTSD, is a lot of their memories are automatically tied to the emotional experience that they had when that memory became burned into their minds. So where are you on that play between trying to make everything exactly the way it happened or making everything just a series of facts and trying to make memory be something that informs us on an emotional scale or on a different psychological scale?
Well, it's amazing you brought that up because that is my new thing.
Shut
right
up.
Now.
And, what do you mean?
I call it cognitive intelligence.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, it's amazing. But you know what? You know what, Ian? Like, well, I'm sure I don't know how old you are, but I like your memory is, you know, emotional. So like you said, strong. Like all your listeners that are 60 and over, I guarantee 99% of them know where they were when Kennedy got assassinated.
Right.
And your younger listeners, I'll bet you they know where they knew where they were when the towers went down. See, emotion has a lot to do with this. But here's the cool thing. The more you train your brain, the more you – see, when I say train your brain, I mean playing brain games and all this other stuff and doing puzzles, that's good for your brain. Don't get me wrong. But
right.
That's like a senior taking a walk.
Right.
What I'm doing is I'm running Ironmans and marathons. I mean, I push my brain to its limits. Like, and what I mean is to stimulate this neurogenesis and neuroplasticity, in my opinion, you have to learn new information each and every day. Like if we go A, B, C, D, E, we know the alphabet. Yeah, we have it memorized, but your brain gets used to that. Your brain has to, your brain's like your stomach. You know, when you get hungry, you have to feed it. But you have to feed your brain new information each and every day. And I think that is the reason why all these test results I have show like my brain age slowed down to 39, and my frontal lobe, parietal lobe, occipital, and temporal lobe were like four times as thick. I think it's because I push my brain to memorize new information every day, and that's. But here's what happens. So from doing this, it rehashes. You actually remember memories when you were younger that you didn't know. It actually sharpens your whole.
Yeah, and that's what I'm getting at.
Yeah,
and I think it's that. I could be wrong on this, but I think that there are a lot of people who don't spend enough time talking about emotional events that happen within families, because you know there might be some tension, there might have been some unresolved issues, and so they end up kind of building walls where they're like, yeah, we don't talk about that in this family. Or, you know, don't bring that up around Uncle So-and-so or whatever. When really it comes down to it is if we build enough walls around things that we're not supposed to think about or not supposed to talk about, I think that ends up narrowing our memory field. And we just sort of turn our brain off to a large part of our past, which would inform who we are in the present and in the future.
Right. And especially you take a person that's unfortunately suffering from PTSD or something like that.
Right.
You don't want to rehash those bad memories of getting, you know, what happened. But what you want to do is if you go back a little further and show them the good memories of childhood, that to me is positive. Anything positive is good for your brain. It has to be positive. Like you talked about the walls and everything, maybe you should put some walls up for some of the really bad negative. You don't want to rehash negative stuff. Say I'm a positive guy. It seems like the more positive I am every day, the stronger everything becomes, the intuition, everything else. You have to be positive. Like if I bring the old Jim Carroll back that worked in a steel mill and flipping the finger to everybody that cut me and wanting to fight everybody, it doesn't happen.
About how you were at the beginning when I played Allentown last hour as a bumper. In general, that's a flood of good over bad memories.
Yes, yes.
Right? And
but
so
the
I think
bad memories are good for you. Don't get me wrong. The bad
take
everything. Yeah, it all has to do with
We can't have pearls without sand, right?
No,
I mean, we can't,
no,
right?
No.
Yeah, so
I have a lot of bad stuff in my life. Yeah, but you got to turn it into positive. You have to learn from it and turn it into a positive and don't give up and keep moving and moving and moving. I mean, oh, man, it's so important. So yeah, it's important to rehash those memories. And that's cool what you're doing with that. That's amazing. But that I call it cognitive intelligence. This whole thing that I'm doing right now, it's just, you know, it transcends your mind from the present, past, everything else, your memory, your intuition. And what I do is, it's by mastering the study of mentalism, cognition, and something we didn't get into yet, the deception detection, which I really...
Ooh.
But my
wait, wait, no, you can't dangle that. You can't... what was that? Go ahead. What was that called?
Well, let me tell you. Yeah, I'll tell you a story. I'm not going to... Once again, I don't want to mention any names. So I'm at the Invictus Games. I perform at the Invictus Games. That's like the Olympics for Wounded Warriors.
Sure.
And then I got invited up to come to the Warrior Games, which is at West Point. And West Point, the United States Military Academy, I'm so proud of this. I actually performed at the United States Military Academy 67 times.
Yeah, that's very cool.
That's just very amazing.
That's awesome.
So they held the Warrior Games there, Ian, and I went up to a general, one of the generals. Once again, I don't want to mention any names. And I go up to everybody. Let me show you something about deception. Well, what's deception? It's the ability to determine truth and integrity just by having a conversation with you and looking in your eyes. Like, for example, here, take one of these cards. Like, I have celebrity cards or different kind of colored cards. And I ask them questions, and I try to get a baseline by saying no matter what I ask you. Is your card a club? No. Is it a heart? No. And I get to develop a baseline. And then all of a sudden, when they say no on a specific card, for some reason people react differently, whether it's a facial reaction, a lip movement, an eye movement. It's really bizarre, and I'm pretty accurate with this. So I'm getting nailing this guy every time, not knowing at the time that he's the head of military intelligence. That was bizarre.
So tell me, the bottom line is, could you tell that he was good at deceiving people?
Yes.
You
No,
could
he,
tell
no,
that.
he was not good at deceiving
He, okay,
people.
that's what
He
I'm
was
getting. So
such
the
an
bottom
honest
line was
man.
he wasn't good at it. Oh,
No,
funny.
he was too honest. He was like, he had a lot of high integrity and he couldn't lie. So those kind of people are easier to read. And you know what I love? You know how I practice? I watch CNN, Fox News. I
Right.
watch poker tournaments.
Right.
I practice by
You
studying
look for
people.
tells.
And the easiest way to check yourself then is like if you watch the World Series of Poker, all right, and you watch and see who's bluffing and who's not bluffing, and then you could actually rewatch it again and know if you're right or wrong. It's bizarre. I mean, I have so much fun with this. So the deception detection, that's the really cool thing that I do, and that's the fringe benefit of pushing your brain, Ian.
Yeah.
If you push your brain, you make these connections that they're amazing. Like now, my intuition is so powerful and so strong, and that's what deception detection is all about. It's not just body language
right.
and everything else. It's intuition.
It's intuition. Let me ask you, what are those clues? What do you look for? So I will tell you, I'm a great liar. It's not something of which I am proud, and I actually really very rarely lie. I mean, other than the stand, I mean, I would never pretend to say that I never lie during a day, but most of the lies we tell when we do them, it's not to hurt somebody's feelings, it's to soften the blow of something, it's whatever. But my wife always thinks she can tell when I'm lying, and she can't. Ever. And so that's kind of funny to me because I think, you know, I don't want to be a good liar. I'm not, it's never a skill I've ever wanted to monetize, for example, but I couldn't tell you why I'm a good liar. I have no idea why I'm able to lie so well. I just know what I could get away with if I were so inclined as that type of person. So what do you look for if we were sitting on a bus? You and I are going across country and we're chatting up like a storm and you start asking me questions. What are you looking for to detect deception?
Well, it's a bunch of things that happen so quickly in a blink of an eye, like in literally a blink of an eye, like
okay.
your eyes. I look at your eyes. I watch like a lot of the women that I know they like the lip, like you see the lip, it like quibbles a little bit. I remember like Bill Clinton, what he used to do all the time. There's so many different things to look at. It's
right.
funny when
he used to
watch.
Do that biting lip thing and then the finger pointing and the,
when you pull your lips and stuff.
Right.
I mean, there's so many things to watch. I mean, that's just basic body language stuff and things to watch for. But what I'm trying to say, and I'm not even talking like micro expressions and things like that. I'm talking about a sense that we all have, but we don't realize we have it, and you could strengthen it by making these connections in your brain, all right? I mean, the more you push your brain to memorize new information, the more connections you make, and I have a feeling that one, a dozen, 100, who knows, I don't know how many, there are certain connections that strengthen this intuition that when you look at somebody, you just know. It's hard to describe. I mean, people say, could you teach me that? I don't know if you could to learn that. You can learn it, yeah, but you just got to do it a million times. Like when I'm on stage performing in the past, I've done 4,000 colleges in my career, and when people are up on stage, it's almost like you've seen the people before. It's almost like there's only like 8 or 10 different types of people in the world.
Right.
It's bizarre. It's hard to explain in a 2-hour segment.
But I think that's true. I think there's truth to that. I have friends who do research on offices and difficult people all the different types of people generally that are difficult in an office. And they can codify within reason a certain subset of us into about, I don't know, I think I want to say about 12 groups. And that just we all sort of fall within, and then within each one of those groups, there's certain, you know, subgroups on top of that. But that there is a kind of a continuity to the way in which people will interact, and that there's certain things about me that will trigger something in somebody else, and then vice versa. And so these little trigger points frequently are the things which it's helpful to know what type of personality you're dealing with in order to understand what their trigger points are.
Yeah, and that's where emotional intelligence comes in and everything else. And so I took, like I said, I took that emotional intelligence and I added the cognition, the mentalism, the deception detection, and I just call this thing cognitive intelligence, a word I made up. like my definition of mentalism, like you told when we started the show, you told me what the mental
street musician said.
It's basically the exploration of the human mind and its infinite capabilities. I mean, our mind has capabilities that people don't know because they don't teach you in school. They don't teach you this stuff. You have to learn on your own. And the more you push your brain, the closer you get to these answers. I mean, I'm in a place right now like Star Trek, where no one has gone before. You know, it's like bizarre. The people, like one of my dearest friends, his name is Robert Ajamian. He's at MIT. He's a scientist. Right? He works at the McGovern Institute for Brain Research. All right. And Bob DeSimone is the guy that runs the center at MIT. And he's a good friend. The talks that we have on the phone, and I speak out there. I was just out there for the USA Memory Championships. I was a keynote. But he's telling me that what I have is I created some kind of vast webs of associations. And it's like, I call it my mental matrix. And every time I learn something new, he's saying that whatever I learned sticks to the webs, and the technique dates back to the like thousands of years to ancient Greece. And so what he calls it, he has like a term for it. He calls it the type of memory I'm doing, content addressable memory. And that's what we're doing. We're studying this right now. In fact, I'm going to be going out there to talk in early April again. And synesthesia, I'm going to talk about.
Right.
Synesthesia is a gift that a lot of people are born with.
Or a curse, depending how you look at it.
But what I think is, I believe now synesthesia can be developed, where you could see colors and numbers, and it makes everything faster. Like if you see me, my presentation of what I do, like I made these colored cards up, and they got like literally thousands and thousands and thousands of digits on it, and just by seeing the colored card, I know the 200-digit number and stuff like that. I mean, it's insane where this is going right now. I mean, I'm studying quantum physics. And I worked in a steel mill. What's going on here? I mean, Ian, I'm looking for answers, and that's why I go to all these doctors. This is so cool what I got going on right now. It's so amazing. And once I realized, like, how to rewire my brain, you know, my whole world changed. And like, now I'm on a mission to help everybody learn how to do this. And That's why I'm coming up with all these things and helping these military guys and trying to get this thing. Like your listeners, like, hey, I want to give a shout out to like all the New York State Troopers. I got so many buddies out there. You know how many state troopers listen to Coast to Coast? It's bizarre. I knew a lot of truck drivers and stuff listen to, but state troopers listen to this show. It's amazing. And it's like, I have so many friends, and that's what I want to do. Just make a million more friends, keep this connection base going. And just help people, love everybody. And that's what this world should be about. My God, doesn't matter to me what political preference you are, what race you are. I mean, that stuff, I'm about the brain. And if everybody was like that, we wouldn't have these problems. It's crazy, man.
Well, let me ask you a question. Do you think, because I watched one of your videos, do you think you can get people, as a mentalist, to say things that they otherwise would not say?
It's amazing you're talking about this right now, because I'm a positive guy, and I could do it in a positive way. I would never deceive anybody, but that's possible to do. It really is. It's really bizarre. It's almost like influencing. It's a gift that we all can do, but you got to work at it. People got to work at it. I mean, think about it. Everybody, they do their job, they go home, people, if they only knew what was out here and what existed. I mean, I study all the sites in, like Mayo Clinic, Cleveland Clinic, you know, MIT, Harvard, I study all the sites about the brain. Then I go into the ancient stuff, like the ancient Chinese, the Greeks. I mean, I am like well-rounded with this thing. And when you start studying things like the pineal gland and all these parts of the, it's amazing. Or like,
all right. That'll have to hold right there on It's Amazing, as we'll give the numbers coming up and people can join the conversation with Jim Carroll. And we know about his memory and his abilities. What about yours? What questions do you have for him next on Coast to Coast AM? This is Ian Punnett. Well, the point I was making, I was getting some interesting response on Twitter on this. By the way, at Deacon Punnett on Twitter, if you want to follow me there. But people responded to that idea about emotional memory, right? That it's one thing to think about memory in terms of just dates and names and places, which Jim Carroll is not saying is all there is to it. but rather embracing the idea of our emotional memories and what they will bring to us, which is one of the reasons why we in my house, we try not to get too obsessed with actually looking at videos. We'd rather talk about it by talking about an event. And we'll often bring up an event. And there might be four different opinions around our table about the event. But that too is helpful because it sort of engages our brains on a very different level. Maybe that's one way to help fight the degradation that often happens over time with our brains. Jim Carroll's got some other advice for you, and he'll take your call coming up next on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett. All right, let's go to DJ in Santa Cruz, California for Jim Carroll on Coast to Coast AM. DJ?
Hi, Jim. Hi, Ian. I checked Jim's site beforehand, and there you say that in 1990, you correctly predicted the Pennsylvania lottery. I'm guessing that might be the 222 you mentioned, and that you predicted the outcome of the Final Four on a national radio show. My questions are, how did you do that? And second, do you have any advice for us on improving our intuitive ability, specifically our intuitive ability? You mentioned things like we have to work at it, be positive, increase brain health, ESPN, but can you mention anything specifically directed to improving intuitive ability or clairvoyance? Thanks.
Good.
That's a good question. Anything that exercises your brain to memorize new information each and every, even something as simple as a new word every day, just to remember, that'll give you who knows how many neurons. I don't know. I'm not, you know, who knows? Nobody knows. That's the thing. All I know is the more you memorize new information, the stronger everything gets. My intuition is through the roof. And that prediction, by the way, the 222 was a dream I had. It came in a dream. And when I Googled all this information about dreams and found out all these famous inventions and Albert Einstein's thing, how everything comes in these dreams and these visions, I mean, there's something going on here, Ian, that it just pushes over the brain, the memory, everything into this universal dreams that you have. It's crazy. And
I'll go with it, but stop for a second. So wait a second. But how does that happen? How does that type of memory work have anything to do with predictions in the sense that you say you predicted the Final Four? How is that in any way connected to memory, the cognitive abilities that you've been able to develop?
Well, this is my point I'm trying to make. I think the more you memorize new information, the more your neurons your neurons have like a quadrillion capabilities of connections. And I think the more you push your brain, the more connections you make. And there are certain connections that I guarantee you they're going to find this out. The science is going to find this out. There are certain connections that will enhance your intuition, your intuitive abilities, which is happening to me. I mean, I drive down the street and I'm behind this U-Haul truck with a trailer on the back. And all of a sudden, and we're on 95 going through Connecticut, 60 miles an hour, bumper to bumper. Everybody that drives on 95 in Connecticut know that. And all of a sudden, I got this feeling, get the heck out of here. And I quickly went to the different lane, and the trailer goes flying off. What is that? Nobody has that answer. But I have a feeling that if you push your brain, this is what you can become. You got to exercise your brain every day. You know, you got to do it every day. That's all I can tell you. That's what's happening to me. And by the way, you said who could knock off Duke? Gonzaga.
Okay, you think so? I'll hold you to that. Walt is in Allentown. I'd love to think you're right, but they've had a couple of off games. All right, Walt is in Allentown on Coast to Coast AM for Jim Carroll.
Hello, PhDN.
How are you doing, buddy?
Why, Mr. Cow, I'd like to say greetings from the land of Bobby Gunther Walsh.
Oh, my gosh. Hey, get me a Yakko hot dog and a Josh Early's pretzel. Baby, I love Allentown. That is amazing.
I just want to say that Yakko is a great one of our major sponsors on our local WAB radio, so you have to watch. What you say about Yakko's hot dog?
I love Yakko hot. You kidding me? I eat more Yakko hot dogs than anybody, and every time I come down, I still eat this stuff. That's what I'm telling you.
What's so good about it? What's different than say a Chicago dog?
Oh my God! It's nothing like a Yakko hot dog. That's the best hot dog good, in the world.
They're very heart healthy. They're very good for your heart.
A heart healthy hot dog.
Well, no, you can't go eating eight at a time like I used to. You know what I mean? So I'll go down and have one or two. You know, I don't have eight anymore. He knows what I'm talking about, too. You can easily eat eight or nine of these things. It's so great.
That sounds good. You had a question for Jim, Walt?
Well, yeah. During the, Bobby usually takes vacation over the Christmas holidays, and over the Christmas holidays, he has a terrific sidekick. His name is Dan Holzman. And Dan Holzman interviewed, you undoubtedly are familiar with, the amazing Kreskin.
Oh, I loved him.
Well, Dan Holzman interviewed the amazing Kreskin, and Dan kept repeating to the amazing Kreskin that his name was Dan, but Kreskin kept calling him Daryl Holzman. I guess the short-term memory is the first that goes. Of course, Kreskin is well into his 80s now.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess we can forgive him in his 80s, but it's funny because in my circle, in my neighborhood, whenever anybody would say something really stupid, we would go, "Oh, attaboy, Kreskin. Thanks for jumping in." So that, but that he's in his 80s, he could be forgiven for even remembering that he was talking to anybody, is still a good sign. Let me grab, let me get to Barry, who's in South Carolina on Coast to Coast AM, for Jim Carroll. Go ahead, Barry.
Hello there, Ian. What a wonderful pleasure it is to talk to you once again, buddy. And for Jim, I want you to know that I have got so much of a positive attitude, and I learn every day. I'm 76 years old. I'm decrepit, laid up, half blind, but I can lay in my bed for 24 hours a day, basically. And I can listen to radio and stimulate my mind and memorize things. I say things over and over, Jim, until I've got to memorize.
No, that's good.
My wife says, "You're a walking encyclopedia of useless information."
That's what wives are for. What do you think, Jim?
That's, you know what? You're doing the right thing, buddy, that you keep doing that. That's the best thing you can do. That brain, that noggin is the best thing you can do is exercise that thing like that. That is so awesome that you do that. I love hearing that.
Let me get to Joe in Long Island on Coast to Coast for Jim Carroll. Go ahead, Joe.
Jim, two quick questions. First, you know, to me, these people on Jeopardy seem pretty smart and swift, but it seems like they also are making an actual concerted effort to memorize this stuff. So that'd be my first question. My
That's
second
good.
Question is about, I was talking to someone, and I see this in myself. You don't file memories in chronological order. So, for example, I had worked in Alaska early last decade, and stuff from it was so unique to where I am now that those memories seem closer in time than they really were.
Oh, that's great, Joe. I love that. That non-chronology thing, that's interesting. What did you do in Alaska?
Worked at the national park, you know, just Denali. It was, you know, nothing spectacular. Just,
what do you mean, nothing spectacular? Just Denali. Okay,
yeah,
I think that's pretty cool.
I was flying planes or something like that.
I understand, but it's still cool to be at Denali. What do you think, Jim?
Well, you know what? You're right. You're right on with that. It's almost like you step out of time temporarily, like memory. Like now, when I think of stuff when I was 6 or 7 years old, it seems like it was just yesterday. I mean, it's bizarre what you're talking about. And as far as the Jeopardy goes, I guarantee you they memorize a lot of stuff. I mean, I thought about going on there, but I'm thinking to myself, what if I memorize all this information and I go on and they give me a category that I didn't memorize and I look like a schmuck on there? That's the chance you got.
Okay,
take.
But yeah, that's exactly it. It's the chance of being a schmuck that...
Yeah.
That's where actually people hold themselves back. Our willingness to be a schmuck. If nobody was willing to step forward and accept their schmuckness, we would have had no progress ever, right?
Well, I've been a schmuck, so I
know okay.
What it's like to be one.
I'd like to really see you on Jeopardy. By the way,
all the categories, I'd go on. You know, if they told me ahead of time, hey, these are 12 categories of which 6 of them are going to be the cat. Well, I'll study everything.
Okay.
What's cool about this? It's really, You know, I got to tell you this. Like I'm talking about, I once had a show back in Atlanta. I live in New York State where it's absolutely snowing out like crazy right now.
Is it really?
I wish I was, you know, if you talk about spring. And I had a show in Allentown, and I had to, what I do is I personalize the shows by memorizing everybody's name and their birth date at the show. Then when I come there, hi, what's your name? Dr. Schwartz. Hey, your birthday is April 10th, 1953. And your wife is October 31st, 1953. And
that's great.
I just love that. That is,
sure.
Memory is so, it just does something to people. It touches their life and inspires them. And that's why I do this. And to me, it's stronger than magic, Ian. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I can see that. And because it seems more realistic, too, I think.
Yeah, it is real. It is as real as you're going to get. It's crazy.
Other
stuff.
Kay is in Washington State, west of the Rockies on Coast to Coast AM. Kay?
Hi, good evening, gentlemen. Wonderful conversation. You know, and it reminds me of that extra sensory perception that blind people have, like myself, in terms of picking up on things. Is that something that you've have you interacted with people who are blind in regards to that extra sensory perception? And when it comes to trying to get them to maybe develop their vision a little bit better, their physical vision.
It's amazing you're saying that as well. I mean, there was a wounded warrior that we went out to Las Vegas. It was called Salute to the Troops. And I flew out on a plane with 75 wounded warriors from Washington to Vegas. And one of them was totally blind. And I spent a lot of time with him on the plane, a lot of time with him in Las Vegas. I got him up on stage. He was guessing people's cards, guessing people's names, guessing colors. People actually that knew him were saying, you could see. Or so. I mean, so what happens is a person that, in my opinion, once again, if you have one sense that has diminished, it enhances the other senses. That's my belief. And I believe there's no limit to what you can do. I mean, I performed I performed for about 11 blind people, and that's like one of the best audiences and the best show I had. It was just so much fun because you're relating in a different way. Yeah, your senses definitely, all your other senses do get strong. You talk about EST. I totally, truly believe that exists. I mean, a lot of people think that's a pseudoscience, but trust me when I tell you, people do have EST, and you probably definitely are one of them. And Mike, that is just, but keep enhancing it. You got to keep working at it. Keep staying positive and keep working it and pushing it and push your brain. If you keep pushing your brain, it's unbelievable what you can accomplish. It's unbelievable. I'm living proof of this. I'm not just talking the talk. I mean, everybody that knows me and has seen me, they know this is real. And that the problem I have is my background was a magician. Everybody, well, how do we know that's not a trick? How do we know this is not a trick? And that's what I still have to fight against. But, keep doing what you're doing.
Kay, I've got a question for you. I talked to a friend who is, he's not blind, but he's very restricted in his, what he can see and how far he can see things and how clear they are. And I once asked him, I said, what's life full of for you that life is probably not as full of for me? And his answer was math. And he said, I have to always calculate things. I have to count my steps. I have to always feel and remember where things are. I thought he had to imagine the dimensionality that I just see. Yeah. Is that for you true too, Kay?
Exactly, exactly. The perception is I call it sixth sense, or personally in terms of my faith, I call it the Holy Spirit.
Right.
I also have this perception of when someone is meaning harm towards me, and I can detect it right away, quickly.
You can hear it, or if, a difference in their voice, do you think? Or do you, something you're sensing up?
I can see the presence, and
I would love to talk to you more about this, Kate. That is so awesome. And so that is, she has something here, Ian, that I'm telling you, everybody has to know that people can do this. This is real.
Right.
It's not fake. You know,
All right.
What are some of the other things, Kate, that you noticed? Like, what Like,
noticed.
You have another example you could share?
Because I'm very independent and I go out and walk quite a bit. I've noticed that I'm being observed. I sense that I'm being observed, and that it's a very streamlined, calculating agenda to observe me. Particularly, I've had really interesting experiences where people have walked by me, and I've known their intention. So their intention or their motive, I know before they even know that I know. So that's fascinating. It's very fascinating. And I have to say thank you for bringing this topic up, because blind people need to be recognized for these things and not shunned and put in the corner. Because
1,000,000%. You are 1,000,000% right. That is 1,000,000% on.
Kay, I thank you for that, very much for your candor, too. Let me get to Maureen, though, who is hanging on before we get to the top of the hour, and then we'll go to open lines after this. But Maureen, since Kreskin came up, it says here that you were an author of a book about the amazing Kreskin.
No, I'm the author of the book Struck by Genius, which Linda Moulton Howe and George featured not long ago on Coast to Coast. Hi, thank you for taking my call. I have many forms of synesthesia myself, and I write about it for Psychology Today in a column called Sensorium, where Kreskin is featured. And Kreskin, who I saw just a few weeks ago, and I'm happy to report, he's as sharp as a tack, and he still jogs 3 miles every morning.
Amazing.
You know, the occasional slip on someone's name notwithstanding, he's as amazing as he ever was. He credits a lot of his mental abilities with synesthesia. And I would urge Coast to Coast to do an entire show on the topic. Edwin May, who, as you probably know, headed Stargate for the CIA, the remote viewing program, told me late last year that synesthetes make excellent remote viewers. And in fact, his top 3 remote viewers in that program, including the legendary Joe McMonagall, are synesthetes.
Well, that wouldn't surprise, I think, anybody who has that kind of extra ability to help bring these kind of connections, as we were talking about before, with synesthesia and numbers and colors and bring that all into a sort of this multidimensional connection that people are having in real time. I would see where that would be a real benefit. Well, it was a pleasure, Jim Carroll, and thank you, everybody who was hanging on. Couldn't get to everybody, but we'll do open lines coming up on Coast to Coast AM. And Jim, I look forward to your book on the way and hearing more good stories about all the work you're doing for the wounded warriors.
Sure, and anybody could just go to my site on Coast to Coast's site, and that it was a pleasure meeting you and being with you, Ian. It's the first time we were together.
That would be great. So you go make that connection right there at coasttocoastam.com. Thank you, Jim. We'll be talking about you, I'm sure, for the rest of the night. I'm sure you'll come up. And then tomorrow night on Coast to Coast, the trial of Lizzie Borden, and we'll discuss new research on this case, which has been fascinating people for centuries. You need the numbers in order to participate. And I think it's everything but the Mueller report tonight. Let's just not get into that because we just don't have anything yet to go with on that. So open lines, and we'll just knock that topic off the top and see where you're going to take us coming up next on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett.